Model Test 10, Section A. 1. Did you enjoy your trip to the beach yesterday?
Yes, but I shook all over after I came out of the water.
Question. What do we learn about the woman?
Two. Did you watch the game yesterday?
I wanted to, but Brittany was watching a movie on Channel 5, so I watched it with her. You know, Brittany, she can't stand football.
Question. Why didn't the man watch the game?
Three. I wonder if our later generations will still be able to breathe clean air, drink clean water, and see the blue sky.
I agree with you. I think it's time man learned to live in harmony with the earth instead of just exploiting it.
Question. What are the two speakers talking about?
Four. Do you think we can get tickets for the basketball match next week?
I don't think we stand a chance, but try anyway.
Question. What does the man mean?
Five. Would it be all right if I borrowed your car this evening?
Unfortunately, I need it myself this evening. I'd let you have it otherwise.
Question. What does the woman mean?
Six. How much is a bar of chocolate?
A dozen is $2.40.
Question. How many bars did the woman get if she paid the salesman $2? Seven. I'm going to see a car someone has for sale. With all your experience as a mechanic, I'd appreciate your opinion.
That was 20 years ago. Cars have changed so much. I'm not sure how much help I might be, but sure, I'll come along for the ride.
Question. What does the man imply?
Eight. Your son seems to have made much progress in playing the piano. Does he attend any piano classes?
Yes, he takes lessons twice a week. But from next week on, he will go to the class on Saturday evening too.
Question. How often will the woman's son have piano lessons from next week on?
Now you will hear two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
Good afternoon. I'm Linda Smith. I called early this morning and you said that I should come for some more information about the flat I want.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Smith. Take a seat. We found something for you.
That's great.
It's a one-bedroom flat in Camden.
Where is it?
34th New Street.
Is the flat near the railway station?
Yes, only 2 blocks away.
That's not bad. How much is the rent?
£75 a week. But that includes gas and electricity.
That's okay. Can you tell me more about the flat?
Well, it has central heating. There is a small kitchen and bathroom and a washing machine.
Is there, what is it, a machine for drying clothes? A tumble dryer?
No, I'm afraid not.
Does the landlady or landlord live in the same building?
Yes, the landlady, Mrs. Green. She lives on the top floor, but I don't see much of her.
Well, I quite like to see it. When can I go round?
I can take you there at 4 o'clock this afternoon, if you like. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine. See you later then.
Goodbye.
Questions 9 to 12 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
9. What might be the man's job?
Ten. Where is the flat located?
Eleven. Which of the following is not true about the flat?
Twelve. What will the woman possibly do?
Conversation 2.
Can I help you?
Yes. I'm looking for a book on the presidential election system in the United States.
Well, all of our textbooks are arranged by subject and course in the back of the store. Is it a required text for one of the university's political science courses?
No, it isn't. I've already looked through all the political science books in the back, but the ones I saw only had a few pages, at most, on the topic.
How about the paperback section? There may be something there.
Okay.
Or better yet, you should try looking in books in print.
I've never heard of that. What is it?
It's an index that lists all of the books currently available from publishers. If you have a specific book in mind, you can look under the author's last name.
But I don't.
Then look directly under your subject, presidential elections.
What happens if I find a book I want?
Well, if it's not in stock, we can order it for you.
Questions 13 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
13. What is the man looking for?
14. Where does the woman first direct the man?
15. What kinds of books are listed in books in print?
2.
Passage 1. The Coast Guard does what its name says. It guards the coasts of the United States. During a war, the Coast Guard becomes part of the United States Navy and helps to protect against enemy attacks. In times of peace, however, the Coast Guard is part of the United States Department of Transportation. It has responsibility for many different duties. The Coast Guard can be found at many large lakes in America, as well as in coastal waters. It enforces laws controlling navigation, shipping, immigration, and fishing. It enforces other laws that affect the thousands of privately owned boats in the United States. Coast Guard planes, boats, and helicopters search for missing boats and rescue people in dangerous situations. Last year, Coast Guardsmen saved the lives of almost 7,000 people. The Coast Guard does scientific research on the ocean. It also uses ice-breaking boats to clear ice from rivers or lakes, so boats can travel safely. One of the Coast Guard's most important duties now is helping to keep illegal drugs out of the United States. Coast Guard boats, armed with guns, use radios and radar to find boats that may be carrying drugs. They stop the boats suspected of carrying drugs and search them. They seize the drugs and arrest the people on the boats. Last year, Coast Guardsmen seized more than 800,000 kilograms of marijuana and cocaine, and they arrested more than 700 persons trying to bring illegal drugs into the United States. This kind of action is exciting. Most of the time, however, Coast Guardsmen say they see nothing more exciting than the ocean.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard.
16. What does the name Coast Guard mean?
How many lives have Coast Guardsmen saved last year?
18. Which of the following is not the duty of the U.S. Coast Guard?
2.
It was 7 a.m. in Kyoto, Japan, and the taxi company had just called a second time to say they couldn't find my house. Once again, I spelt out directions even a blind person could follow. I glanced impatiently at my watch and waited. Only 2 hours remained until my flight left, and it was an hour and a half trip to the airport. Outside, heavy rains were pouring down. My house was so far north in the city that buses pass only 3 times a day. The telephone rang again. "Terribly sorry," began the man at the taxi company. Then I realized that the taxi company, flooded with calls, could only offer in-city runs. I had heard this happens when the weather gets bad. I shouted into the phone that I had a plane to catch and I would meet the taxi outside my house. Standing in the wind-driven rain, I looked up and down the road. No taxi. A car went by, driver and passengers staring at the crazy foreigner in the downpour. Finally, a white car appeared and pulled to a stop. A young man threw open the door, waving for me to get in. Shaking with cold and anger, I climbed in. In the most polite Japanese, the man said he was called Mike, with whom I had spoken 3 times that morning. He had left his post in the office and raced here in his personal car. He apologized again, but did not explain why a taxi would not pick me up. Delivering me straight to the airport, he refused the 2,000 yen I pressed into his hand. A few hours later, as a storm-delayed 727 took off, I opened the newspaper. On the second page, my eyes caught the headline of a short article. Taxi strike begins this morning in Kyoto.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the passage you have just heard.
19. Why did the speaker call a taxi early in the morning?
20. What was the reason that no taxi would pick him up?
21. What do you learn about the driver from the passage?
3. Faces, like fingerprints, are unique. Did you ever wonder how it is possible for us to recognize people? Even a skilled writer probably could not describe all the features that make one face different from another. Yet a very young child, or even an animal, such as a pigeon, can learn to recognize faces. We all take this ability for granted. We also tell people apart by how they behave. When we talk about someone's personality, we mean the ways in which he or she acts, speaks, thinks and feels, which make that individual different from others. Like the human face, human personality is very complex. But describing someone's personality in words is somewhat easier than describing his face. If you were asked to describe what a nice face looked like, you probably would have a difficult time doing so. But if you were asked to describe a nice person, you might begin to think about someone who was kind, considerate, friendly, warm-hearted, and so on. There are many words to describe how a person thinks, feels, and acts. An American psychologist found nearly 18,000 English words characterizing differences in people's behavior. And many of us use this information as a basis for describing or typing his personality. Bookworms, conservatives, military types. People are described with such terms. People have always tried to type each other. Actors in early Greek drama wore masks to show the audience whether they played the villain's or the hero's role. In fact, the words person and personality come from the Latin word persona, meaning mask. Today, most television and movie actors do not wear masks, but we can easily tell the good guys from the bad guys because the two types differ in appearance as well as in actions.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard.
22. What does the passage mainly tell us?
Why is the animal pigeon mentioned in the passage?
24. What does the author of this passage most probably do?
25. According to the passage, how do people usually classify a person into a certain type? 6. In some countries, video games are fast becoming a social problem. They are banned. In the Philippines and Indonesia. In Japan, those who are under 15 years old are forbidden to use the public machines. At night, city elders across the United States are campaigning to restrict their numbers, while the Hong Kong government is moving to license their operation. These light flashing electronic video games are causing children to waste their money on them. Even adults are lured into spending working hours playing them. In Singapore, the battle of man against machine takes place in licensed amusement centers, mostly located in shopping centers. According to one estimate, each establishment can make between $250 and $1,500 a day. Schoolchildren in uniforms are not allowed into these centers. However, one cannot help noticing that the majority of those who are often found in the places are youngsters. Many of them are in fact schoolchildren who have changed out of their uniforms. Some play for the fun of it. Others have turned them into a form of gambling, and some are hopelessly addicted to them. The video game craze was sparked off by man's first close encounter with the earliest game, Space Invaders. Once the aliens had landed, other electronic creatures soon followed. Hundreds of new games are introduced each year. With each new game, the video addict demands greater novelty. Because both kids and adults can play these games in the privacy of the home, video game sets have invaded most homes. The question that must be asked is, have they any educational value? In some countries, video games are fast becoming a social problem. They are banned. In the Philippines and Indonesia. In Japan, those who are under 15 years old are forbidden to use the public machines. At night, city elders across the United States are campaigning to restrict their numbers, while the Hong Kong government is moving to license their operation. These light flashing electronic video games are causing children to waste their money on them. Even adults are lured into spending working hours playing them. In Singapore, the battle of man against machine takes place in licensed amusement centers, mostly located in shopping centers. According to one estimate, each establishment can make between $250 and $1,500 a day. Schoolchildren in uniforms are not allowed into these centers. However, one cannot help noticing that the majority of those who are often found in the places are youngsters. Many of them are in fact school children who have changed out of their uniforms. Some play for the fun of it, others have turned them into a form of gambling, and some are hopelessly addicted to them. The video game craze was sparked off by man's first close encounter with the earliest game, Space Invaders. Once the aliens had landed, other electronic creatures soon followed. Hundreds of new games are introduced each year. With each new game, the video addict demands greater novelty. Because both kids and adults can play these games in the privacy of the home, video game sets have invaded most homes. The question that must be asked is, have they any educational value? In some countries, video games are fast becoming a social problem. They are banned. In the Philippines and Indonesia. In Japan, those who are under 15 years old are forbidden to use the public machines. At night, city elders across the United States are campaigning to restrict their numbers, while the Hong Kong government is moving to license their operation. These light flashing electronic video games are causing children to waste their money on them. Even adults are lured into spending working hours playing them. In Singapore, the battle of man against machine takes place in licensed amusement centers, mostly located in shopping centers. According to one estimate, each establishment can make between $250 and $1,500 a day. Schoolchildren in uniforms are not allowed into these centers. However, one cannot help noticing that the majority of those who are often found in the places are youngsters. Many of them are in fact school children who have changed out of their uniforms. Some play for the fun of it, others have turned them into a form of gambling, and some are hopelessly addicted to them. The video game craze was sparked off by man's first close encounter with the earliest game, Space Invaders. Once the aliens had landed, other electronic creatures soon followed. Hundreds of new games are introduced each year. With each new game, the video addict demands greater novelty. Because both kids and adults can play these games in the privacy of the home, video game sets have invaded most homes. The question that must be asked is, have they any educational value?